Now, on this day, March 31st, we are marking the 17th anniversary of Terri Schiavo's death. If you remember, in 2005, Terri Schiavo made national news, and Relevant Radio reported extensively on her story when she died not long after her feeding tube was removed by order of a Florida judge acting at the request of Schiavo's husband that his wife be allowed to die. This is the way that the mainstream media reported Terri Schiavo's death on NBC News.
This all began when, at the age of 26, Terri Schiavo collapsed at home, suffering massive brain damage. Her husband vowed to make her well again and took her to numerous doctors and rehabilitation centers. But years later, after winning a $1 million malpractice judgment, Schiavo said he realized his wife would never recover. And in 1998, as her legal guardian, he filed a petition to end her life. But that decision put him fiercely at odds with Terri's parents, Bob and Mary Schindler, who fought all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court to keep their daughter alive. In case after case, doctors testified that Terri is in a persistent vegetative state, and experts say she will feel no pain. After losing twice in federal court today and in the Florida Senate, Bob and Mary Schindler turned to Governor Jeb Bush, who suggested the state could once again intervene in this emotional case. The parents had also hoped the Florida Senate could pass a bill making it illegal to withhold food and water from an incapacitated person without prior written consent. But late this afternoon, by a vote of 21-18, the Senate defeated the measure. Outside the hospice, somber services on Good Friday, with communion and prayers for Terri Schiavo.
Terri is weakening. You know, she's down to her last hours.
It is with great sadness that it's been reported to us that Terri Schiavo has passed away.
For the first time in U.S. history, an innocent disabled woman was court-ordered to die by denying her basic care, basic food, and water. Terri's brother, Bobby Schindler, joins us now from Cincinnati, Ohio, to talk about his sister, Terri Schiavo, who was starved to death 17 years ago today. Bobby Schindler is the president of the Terri Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Good morning, Bobby. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us on this day that means so much to you, at a day that we must all never forget.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Bobby, you know, my wife reminded me that we ran into you and your family at St. Peter's Square just shortly after the death of Terri, and Pope St. John Paul II at the Vatican. That was the last time that we saw each other.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being there. Yeah, the Pope John died just 2 days after Terri.
Something I could never forget. You know, listening to these news reports kind of brings back all the memories. And I know I've never forgotten, and so many of our listeners who were with us in the early days have not forgotten as well. But for those who may not be familiar with Terri's story, can you give us your perspective, a brief synopsis of the story of Terri and how her life was taken away?
Sure. Well, it was back in 1990. She was 26, and she sustained a pretty serious brain injury. And from that injury, which still is suspicious circumstances, she was home alone with her husband, Michael Schiavo. And she went several minutes without oxygen and sustained, a brain injury and was dependent on others for her care. But the only thing sustaining her was food and hydration. There was no ventilator. She didn't need a ventilator. There was no other types of machinery, so to speak, that was keeping her alive, just food and hydration. And Michael vowed to take care of her, and my parents were working with him to do just that. But Michael had a change of heart shortly thereafter Terri's collapse. There was a lot of money involved. He was living with another woman at the time who he intended to marry, and he petitioned a court almost 10 years later to remove Terri's food and water, and my family objected. It started out as a local case, a legal case, and it just snowballed into international publicity, protracted legal battle. My parents, once the judge ruled and gave Michael permission to remove Terri's food and hydration, our family just said, we're going to do everything legally possible to stop this from happening. And as was mentioned in the news report before I came on, it made its way all the way up to the U.S. Congress, the President of the United States, but all those efforts had failed, and on March 18th, 2005, Terri's feeding tube was removed, and And it took almost 2 weeks, and our family had to witness Terry die by an agonizing and inhumane death by dehydration and starvation. Something I might add, if you do to an animal, that's a federal violation, you would be put in jail. But every single day in our country, in the United States, and really globally, people are dying the same way by dehydration and starvation, the same way my sister died. And there's a narrative out there that this is a peaceful and painless way to die, and I'm here to tell you it's anything but that. It was most barbaric. It was ghoulish. And as I said, I can only believe that we're permitting this to happen to our most medically vulnerable individuals, and there doesn't seem to be much pushback or anything that's being done to stop it.
Bobby, can you explain how the feeding tube was reclassified as a medical treatment instead of basic care? How did this happen? What were the reasons that were given?
Right. Well, it was Daniel Callahan, and I speak about this often. He's a bioethicist, and these are generally, typically, how these types of changes take place. Policies, laws. Starts out with a discussion, and Daniel Callahan was a bioethicist, a prominent bioethicist back in the 80s, and he said they had to figure out a way to end the lives of people that were living too long because they were being sustained by food and hydration, people like Terry. So back at that time, feeding tubes were classified as basic and ordinary care, which incidentally the Catholic Church still recognizes food and hydration through a feeding tube as basic and ordinary care. Nevertheless, it was shortly thereafter changed where it became medical treatment, artificial life support, extraordinary care. So they look at food, and we look at food and water right now in the medical community the same way as we would look at, say, a ventilator. And because of this shift, because of this rewording of a feeding tube, it is now legal in all 50 states to either deny it or withdraw it from individuals, even if they and even in some cases where they are expressing or they want to be continued to be fed this way. So it's a real problem. There are countless people that are dying every day, either deliberately or by their own wishes, so to speak, to die by self-starvation.
And so on this anniversary, I'm sure it's an emotional moment for you every day. Today we're remembering 17 years, and I know you're very passionate about this. Was this part the main motivation for starting the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network?
That's right. Our family wanted to serve as patient advocates because we were going to try and do everything we could with the resources that we had during Terry's case to now use them to help other families and try to prevent them from experiencing what we experienced with Terry. And we've been doing this for 17 years now. We've been involved in thousands of cases where families call us in crisis, where their loved ones in threat of having either their care denied, treatment denied, or withdrawn. So we use our resources to try to connect them with the best help to stop whatever it is that's threatening their loved one from being killed. And we stay very busy. We're fortunate. And I just want to mention this real quick. Lawless, it's a new podcast that Lynn Vincent is doing. She's reinvestigating Terry's case. A lot of what people don't know is going to be exposed in her podcast. It's going to be 13 parts, and it starts today. If you go to lawlesspodcast.com, you can listen to the first episode. And we're very encouraged because there is a lot of inaccuracies and just a lot of things that exist and about Terry and her condition or a case that still exists and are being reported even to this day. And we're hoping that Lynn's reinvestigation is going to really shed a light on much of what was never reported in the media.
We're joined this morning live from Cincinnati, Ohio, by Bobby Schindler, the brother of Terry Schiavo, who we are remembering today, 17 years after she was starved to death. Bobby is the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Bobby, can you talk about today's healthcare system and how it's, in so many ways, it's demonstrating a relentless threat to our human dignity?
Right. I think just like much of our culture we're seeing today, it's being infiltrated by a eugenic type of value system. And much of the decisions that are being made today, it's a cost benefit ratio. And hospital administrators, insurance industries are now the ones that are really controlling who gets treatment and who does not get treatment. And it's all based on, as I said, much of it is based on cost. And we're seeing now where it used to be once where doctors and hospitals were working in the best interest of the patients. It seems there's been a shift now where they're working in the best interest of the hospital, because we're getting calls all the time where treatment and resources are cut off within a very short period of time once someone experiences a brain injury, without giving them the opportunity to see if, in fact, they can recover or respond to certain types of treatment. They would rather cut off their treatment because of the costs that are involved. And that's really a lot of the calls that we get now, where care is being terminated in a very short period of time. And I think much of this is not only being driven by cost, as I mentioned, but also just by this attack on human dignity and the thinking that some people, based on their quality of life, are not worth treating.
Bobby, what about the role of the insurance companies? Do you think that they're trying to influence doctors to choose ending life instead of expensive treatments that could possibly save lives?
Well, absolutely, and it's not just an influence. I don't think, and many times, the doctors are left with no choice because insurance companies are just not going to tell the family they're not going to provide the resources to help their families. It happened in Terry's case. When we were trying to get rehabilitation for my sister, we had a fucked insurance company so that they would provide the resources to help us get her the rehabilitation that she so desperately needed because of her brain injury. And it's happening today. It's only getting worse. And families are not getting – the brain needs time to recover. And if it doesn't happen in a short period of time, and, you know, define short period of time – that's really up to the insurance coverage. But sometimes it takes an extended period of time, and you need those resources for the rehabilitation, and families just aren't getting it. And therefore, if they don't get the treatment, the loved one has a very limited chance. You know, it's going to hurt their chances of recovering from whatever type of brain injury that they've acquired.
Bobby, I know that you're on a mission to help as many families as possible. Can you share maybe a couple of stories that come to mind of families that were in a similar situation as Terry, and you've been able to help them and guide them along the way?
Sure. There's actually a case in California right now, and in fact, it made some national news. There was actually a dispute over guardianship, who was making medical care decisions. It was a young man's fiancée who had an asthma attack, and she sustained a brain injury, and he was doing everything in his power to get her the care she needed at the time, and the hospital was really pushing back, telling him that she was not going to recover. There was no meaningful chance in any type of recovery. The mom was in the picture, and there was a dispute over who was actually in charge of her treatment decisions. So we were contacted, and we were able to connect this young man with some legal help, and it was through the legal help that he was able to receive. He had to go to court, and they were able to give him the healthcare agent, appoint him as an healthcare agent, so he would be now in charge of her care. And we've been staying in touch since. It's been about a month or so now. And I just spoke to him yesterday, and his fiancée is doing much, much better. She's recovering. She's already defined the odds from what was her original prognosis. And if he was not there to advocate for his fiancée, there's a good chance this young lady wouldn't even be alive today. So that's just one example of what we do to try and help these families. And many times it is providing them legal help, because oftentimes an attorney is going to have to intervene and try to sort these things out and again, do what they can to provide their loved one the treatment that's trying to be stopped or denied by either another caretaker or in fact, the facility where the person's being cared for.
Bobby, you mentioned the lawlesspodcast.com. Can you give us a few other resources connected to the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network where our listeners can go if they ever find themselves in a similar situation as Terry?
Yes, most importantly, lifeandhope.com. We have a 24-hour, 24/7 crisis lifeline where they can call us. They can also go to our website, and they can contact us through our website. But if you go to lifeandhope.com, that will provide you the information you need. And it's also another way you can access the podcast. But lifeandhope.com you'll see where you can contact us if in case you are in a crisis and need our help.
Bobby, a final word here on this 17th anniversary of the death of Terry.
Well, just if you can remember my sister in your prayers today on the day of her death, and certainly all the families that are experiencing the same type of crisis or going through what my family went through with Terry, they certainly need our prayers, and we just need to do everything we can to recognize the problem that we have today and how our medics are vulnerable to threat from really this mindset that has really, as I said earlier, has really taken over our healthcare facility. And we really need to start advocating for our medically vulnerable.
Well, Bobby, here at Relevant Radio, we will never forget your sister, Terry Schiavo. You are in our prayers, and she is as well. Many blessings on your continued work with the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network. Thanks again, Bobby.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me this morning. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bobby Schindler, the president of the Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network.